I don't know, a cotton mill village boy. I never did pick any cotton, but I saw a lot of cotton baled up before they took it to the different sections of this cotton mill and they made cloth. And my daddy was the overseer, and he'd let me come up there to the cotton mill, and he was overseer of the spinning room. They took the roping and put it up here, and it come down into the machine and on a little roller, and those bobbins were twirling so fast until sometimes it break. And the only way that you could tell that one had broken, you'd see that roping gathering up on that spindle up top. And you had to get that spindle out and get that off. And you stick it back in and put it in. And then it comes down. And then you got the thread. You had to unthread that off of the bobbin down here and put it up there. You have to wrap it around your finger in a certain way. And you put it up there and it catches on. And then you're all right. You keep things going. That was your job. You know what I'm talking about then. Well, Daddy was starting me out right. And he was probably hoping that I would work in the cotton mill someday. But before I got grown, the CIO union got in that cotton mill. And they got to shutting those frames, those big frames off. And the head man says, if these people don't stop turning these frames off, production is going to go down and we're going to have to close this cotton mill down. What we'll do, if it keeps up this way, we'll bust all these cast iron frames to pieces, and the spinning room is on the second floor, and we'll throw this junk iron out the windows. And they didn't believe it. They believed in the CIO union. Now, some of you may fall out with me, but Daddy would try to tell those people, please get to work. And they'd got to where they'd say CIO to it. CIO. And when the cotton mill closed down and a lot of them lost their job, he said instead of CIO, they said OIC. So that's the kind of environment. We lived in the cotton mill village. A row of houses on this side of the street, and a row of houses on that side of the street, and that's where you workers lived. At a little bit of nothing, rent. They furnished our water. They furnished our lights. Well, it wasn't much. We didn't have no plug-ins back then. Just a light hanging down and a switch on the wall to turn it off and on. No plugs. So that's back then when we didn't have no fans. No air conditioning. And no running water in the house. We had to go out on the back porch and turn the hydrant. They call them faucets nowadays, but back then we called them hydrants. Now, you California girls don't know a thing about what I'm talking about now. You ever called them hydrants? They're faucets now. I'm not against it. These girls have been giving me trouble about the last meal of the day being supper. But I got the word of God on them. When we go to the marriage dinner of the lamb, it's the marriage supper of the lamb. That's, bless the Lord, I'm getting some of you straightened out here this morning. I was country back then. No, I was cotton mill village that back then. And I'm still that way. It's the hardest thing in the world, hold my spoon and my fork right. I grab the whole handle and eat. I've tried to do this. But man, I can't get the job done right. You know, I got saved and I got called to preach while I lived in the cotton mill village. And the Lord called me to preach. And I remember when I first started out in evangelistic work. And you know how folks really put it on. Some of these sisters, they invite you at their place. And they bring out the china and everything, you know, and that long fork and the short fork and the long knife and the short knife. And, buddy, when I went to the table, this is my first experience now, folks. I sat there a while and I looked at all and everything around my plate. I felt like asking openly, what is all these things for? And I stopped trying to figure it out and I picked up my fork and I went to work. Brother Kenneth Easley, I moved to Fout, the pastor there at the Fout Church. Kenneth Easley, I don't know whether y'all know him or not, but he's already gone on to his eternal home. And we were on our way to a fellowship meeting one time. A bunch of preachers got together. And we was headed up north. It's one of those churches up north of Texarkana to a fellowship meeting. So none of us had eaten. We had to leave a little early to get there on time. None of us had eaten supper yet. So we stopped in a cafe to eat supper. Now, I hope y'all are paying attention this morning. And we stopped in there and we ordered what we wanted to eat. And so I mopped up my mind pretty quick. And Brother Kenneth Easley was over there mincing among those pinto beans. And I wanted a few more anyway. So I took my spoon and I reached over and I got me a spoonful of Brother Kenneth's and I was eating them. Because he didn't want them. He's going to leave them on the plate and they're going to throw it in the slop. I know some of y'all don't say that now either. But we called it throwing the scraps in the slop. It was slop. I'm breaking down all these folks that thinks I'm highfalutin. Stiff. But the reason I hold myself up is I don't want to be humpback after a while. I'm 72, we'll be this month. No, it's not August yet, is it? Okay, I'll be 72 this month. Coming August 29th. And my back's pretty straight, don't you think? I don't want to get humpback. No. I don't care how much folks think I'm highfalutin. And if... Don't worry. Some of you, they won't think you're highfalutin. I'm sorry, folks. I'm really kidding this morning. Well, that's just getting acquainted. The last time I was here, I didn't do pretty good. I didn't do too good. Y'all didn't get too much out of it or something or what. I don't know. But I was kind of worried about it. So this is what I've got on my heart this morning. And I want to share it with you. Y'all let out at 12, brother? Yeah. We'll get through right at 12. Chapter 6 of the book of St. Matthew. And I want to start reading at verse 5. I hope I can be a blessing to y'all this weekend. And I hope y'all don't say when I leave, when we get through tomorrow night, tonight, "Boy, I'm glad that's over with." Man. I'd feel bad headed home or wherever I'm going. I don't know where I'm going when I get through here. But I hope I can be a blessing to you. "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." And these 1, 2, 3, 4 verses tells us how not to pray. And then the next verses, he tells us how to pray. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now Jesus told us how to pray in verse 12 as far as forgiveness is concerned. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." God will forgive us in accordance to how we forgive one another. If you don't forgive, you hadn't got a forgiving spirit, forget it. You're not going to make it. Why is it so hard for people to forgive? Why is it? They expect us preachers, the congregation, when y'all stumble and when y'all do things that's not just right, are you expecting the pastor to be good and sweet and forgive you? I'm looking at you. Some of you don't even know hardly where I'm going yet. And they expect you to forgive them. But what about Brother Shaw and Brother Pastor back here slips up and does something that's not just right? How are you all going to react toward him? "Oh, but Brother Ben, the pastors is not supposed to." Well, I'm sorry. I made a many a boo-boo since I've been preaching. Corliss. Oh, I'm sorry. Turn the green light on. Yeah. Where was I at? They're supposed to forgive you. Right? But there are some people sitting in our churches that will never, never, ever, ever, ever forgive that preacher. He's done repented. He's done got right with God. But you're going out there and you're killing him. Whoever and whatever preacher it is. You're talking about him. You're running him down. You're using your mouth to destroy that man of God. I know you're not perfect, brother, because I know I'm not perfect. I've missed it too. I've had to come back to the altar and repent. And I've had to ask my wife even to forgive me. I'm just listening. Some of you smiling. And some of you looks just as innocent as you can be. You have never, ever. That's the way you look. But it ain't so. I'm not talking about warring and slugging one another and beating one another down. You're not married yet, are you, son? Boy, you got something to look forward to. Woo! Now this brother don't look like he's ever done anything. Nah. Where are you, Marilyn? I'll talk to you after service is dismissed this morning. I know that's a little humorous, but there is a lot of reality to it. He said, if you don't forgive, can you imagine somebody in the altar, they've done stumbled and fell and they've done wrong? Coming back to the altar, and there they are shedding hot tears of repentance. And God looks down and says, no, no, I'm not going to forgive. You have never, never, ever forgive. And the people comes to your mind that you hadn't ever, and you don't care a hoot about them. And a lot of times, good people, they've done repented. As some people never forgets. You will never, never forgive. Lord, I don't even know you all. And I'm, hey, Sister Betty, where are you at? We didn't talk about forgiveness last night. It was at y'all's house, did we? No. Y'all didn't even talk about nobody. I mean, in a bad way. And I love pastors like that. Brother, I have went to churches, and the pastor will tell you from A to Z what's going on in the church. I don't even touch it. I wouldn't even touch it with a 10-foot pole. You know, I couldn't do it without the Holy Ghost anointing me. Amen? Right?
And no man can judge righteously without knowing the facts. Amen? This is second Sunday school lesson this morning. People, isn't it amazing? People are experts on things that's happened and they don't even know. They don't even know the facts. We have preachers, holiness preachers. When something happens, they are expert telephone marketeers. And brother, I'm not exaggerating. I had one calling me, and I could call his name. I could tell you who he is, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to be gentleman enough not to even call his name. I'll tell you how to treat that. He'd start talking, you know, about, have you heard about so-and-so, what happened in the church? I says, no, I hadn't. And instead of saying, really? You know what that's doing? Come on, I want to know some more of this slop. Really? Really? You know how to cut it off real quick? Don't say nothing. Let them do all the talking on the other end. I have had them to say, Brother Ben, are you still there? I said, mm-hmm. Still here. Hallelujah. And I pastored Fairland with stuff like this. I kind of get practical sometimes. But it's biblical. I tell you, y'all have several young people. Listen to me, young folks. Young people can be so cruel to one another at times. I pastored a bunch of them for years and years and years. I know what happens. They can be so cruel to one another. Say harsh things about one another. And don't you ever think, young people, I know you're not mature enough to really understand that, but when you tell your buddy, whether she's a girl or a boy, when you tell your buddy about one of the other young people in the church, don't worry. It's going to be all in among the young people. Before the next service. And every young person is going to know what you said about so and so. And if it's a lie, they're going to know you're a liar. They're going to know it. And it don't take many of them kind. And you're going to begin to wonder, young folks. Why is it that they don't want me to be around them? I can tell you. Stop lying. And stirring up. You know what trouble stirring young people is going to make? Trouble stirring grown people in the church. They're going to make them kind in the church. Forgive. We're human beings. And we're going to make mistakes. I told Fairland, I says, I'm made out of clay just like you are. We're but flesh. And we're but clay. That's all we are. And if we've been kind and good and sweet and we've asked forgiveness, then somebody else is going to be that way to us. Y'all mind, I've done confessed some in the Sunday school class. Y'all have a confession meeting in y'all Sunday school class? I done confessed some in our Sunday school class. Where was I sitting? Right about third pew, I think. It's when we was in a building program there at the church. Look out, brother. You can get up tight quick. Pastor can get up tight quick in a building program. And we went through major. I'm not talking about those little bitty things that has to be done, repairs and all of that. But we went through several major building programs. And there was a young man in our church that I was displeased with. And on one Saturday night, we had to get that floor in that second dormitory and the second, well, we made that other one for the concession stand. And we had to get those, we got that tongue and groove flooring to put down on that steel. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And some of that stuff was thicker. It wasn't cut right. And it was sticking up. Some of the edges were sticking up above the others. And we're going to have that linoleum laid in all of that top part Monday morning. And we had to get that stuff sanded down so when you laid that linoleum, you wouldn't see that coming through. And I said, how many of you's got a sander, a belt sander? And I was getting them all, you know. I said, well, how many of you will come and help? And this young man never held his hand up. And it just hit me just wrong. I said some choice words to him right there in the service. But anyhow, I was wrong. But he was there upstairs sanding. So I talked to him that night before he went home. And I told him, I said, son, I am going to ask the church to forgive me in the morning. And I'm going to ask you to forgive me in the morning. If you don't think that could take some courage, brother. I did it before the whole congregation, and I owed my whole congregation an apology also. Now, everything don't need to be confessed out in the church. Jesus said, just go to them. Just go to them individually. Most things can be taken care of in that way. But next morning, oh, buddies, when that Sunday school superintendent turned that morning service over to me, I looked over here. There he sat. I looked back yonder, and there's his mom and daddy. I says, most of you here this morning was here last night. I says, some of you aren't. But I said, I owe an apology. And I need to ask forgiveness this morning. And I told them what I said. I wanted the others to know what I did too. Josh, I think you was too little to even understand. You was thinking about dismissing. Josh knew that when Sister Shaw come up to play the piano, I was through preaching. And I reckon one night, Josh, I was preaching a little long. Huh? You wore out, wasn't you, son? And he sat right over there close to where Sister Opal is. And she's talking to her. Sister Opal. Was it your mama says? Josh says, what are you doing? Says, I want to talk to Sister Opal. Sister Opal. Said, what you want with Sister Opal? Says, I wanted to tell her to go to the piano. He said, I knew it was over with after Sister Shaw went to the piano. I reckon you want to go home and get some pie or something. I don't know what it was. You don't either, probably. Anyway, I looked over at that young man and I says, I called his name. I says, son, I want you to forgive me for what I said last night and in the manner that I did it. I said, will you forgive me? And when that boy's head went up and down, I felt good. You can't realize how free and how good you feel when you ask forgiveness. And I looked back at that dad and mom, and I asked the mother first. I says, sister, and I called her name. I said, and will you forgive me for talking like that? And I saw her head go up and down like this. And then I looked over at the daddy. I says, daddy, I says, will you forgive me for what I said last night to your son? And I saw that head go up and down. Did you know they love me as much as anybody in that church? Well, Brother Ben, what about you? Did you have any influence in your church? I don't know of any other church that respected me as a pastor in the whole holiness movement. I couldn't think. Well, I didn't know about a lot of them. But the Fairland Church respected me. And they still do. They still love me. Well, I'm talking about forgiving. Can you do it? Are you man enough to do it? Are you woman enough to do it? Are you young people enough to do it? If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Can we be like that, Brother Holcomb? How can we be like that? Hey, do you remember how wicked and low down and sorry you was? And how many times you cussed God and took His name in vain? And the wicked things that you did before you got saved? God forgave you, didn't He? And He said He forgot it. He forgave and forgot. And we as human beings cannot forgive one another. Oh, well, Brother Ben, that's my nature. That was the way I was born in this world. I just got that nature that I just hold things against one another. What you need to do, pray that on out and get victory over that spirit of grudging and holding things. I've lived long enough now to see families that fell out when their loved ones passed away and they didn't feel like they got their share of the inheritance. They fell out with one another and some of them never spoke to one another the rest of their lives. They took that grudge to the grave with them. That's unhealthy, spiritually speaking. Well, what if it is $1 million they cheated you out of? What is your soul worth? What is your soul worth? A lot of times it wasn't $1 million that people fell out. It's just some penny annually hundreds. Penny Allen, just a few dollars. Lord in heaven knows, I don't know why, I'm preaching this way. As good a spirit as we had in this service this morning. I don't know why. I love the spirit in this church. Oh, yeah, that first song. The glory of God was in this place. I reckon this is kind of a preventive message. You may be facing something. You may be fixing to go through something. You know, I was telling this. I'd forgotten that this preacher was there that morning. And I was telling that somewhere. So I was trying to encourage people to forgive one another. And after service, he said, "Brother Ben, I was there that Sunday morning. And I didn't even know he preached for me that Sunday morning. I didn't even remember that. I reckon this other was so dominant in my mind that I just forgot about what went on the rest of the service." Forgiveness. We just got to do it, church. You know, I don't know if you've ever made any boo-boos since you started pastoring this church, brother. But you know, when the pastor gets up and apologizes, in a sense, God can use that to teach the members of the church. And if a pastor can ride over and ride over and ride over and ride over things that he does and says, and oh, how many members in my church have I had to ask forgiveness in the 32 years I pastored Fairland? How many members have I had to go to and ask forgiveness? Man. I didn't want to have no gate trouble. Whenever we forgive, it shows something of God in you when you forgive. Because He forgives. Seven more minutes. Had a lady in our church that had a mom in the hospital at that time, Ms. Weston, dying with cancer and only had a few weeks to live. And Jewel asked me, says, "Will you go to the hospital and talk to her, Brother Ben?" I said, "I'd be glad to." And when I walked in, I looked at I believe that's the first time I'd ever saw her. And I looked at her and I knew she was a woman of, had a hard life. And I got to talking to her about the Lord. I began to ask her some things. And I encouraged her to just, I said, "Miss Weston," I said, "just ask the Lord to forgive you." I knew it was desperate. And she had to. In just a few days, she was going to be gone forever. She looked at me and said, "Preacher," says, "I'm too mean. And I've done too many things for God to forgive me." That hit me. I never had anybody to tell me that before. Especially somebody that's fixing to leave this world. And I says, I don't know what I did after that. I know it just jolted me. And finally, the Lord brought that scripture to me. He said, "Tell her about that." I said, "Miss Weston, I want you to listen to me." I said, "Peter came to the Lord one time and asked the Lord, says, 'Lord, how oft should I forgive my brother?'" That's question number one. And before Jesus answered that first question, he asked the second question. He said, till seven times? And you can know in Peter's mind, he thought he was going way beyond what was really, really required of him. Seven times. He said, Peter, not seven times, but seven times 70. 490 times. My. You know what Jesus was actually teaching? Unlimited forgiveness. In the book of Luke, he said seven times in a day. In a day. If they turn and repent and ask forgiveness, he said, forgive him. I'm trying to find a sweet looking brother here this morning. I'm fixing to wind it up. You look like a sweet brother. Here I come. I've done something. And I look at him. I says, brother. I says, will you forgive me? I've lied on you. And I've said some awful things about you that wasn't so. Will you forgive me? You will?
Yes, sir.
All right. Luke recorded seven times in a day. That's about the average of waking hours, 12 hours. Waking, that's not very, very many times, you know? And here I come back again. Oh, will you forgive me? I've done it again. Only it's worse this time. Will you forgive me? 45 minutes later, oh, I've done it again. It's getting to be amusing now, isn't it? But if it was reality, it would be getting disgusted. 45 minutes, here I come again. I would hope that you would be smiling. Have a sweet smile on your face like you are. Four times. Sun's getting on over now. Here I come back again. Five times. And the sun's getting low now. Would you forgive me? Seven times. It's getting threadbare now, isn't it? What about 489th time? You'd see me coming and you'd, whoa, he's done it again. Oh, I can't go it. And I tell you what, a lot of people that I've asked that, their nature different than I am. I'd have grabbed her hand about the third or the fourth time, or maybe sooner than that. Son, whatever it is, get over it and pray through. The Lord will forgive you and I'll forgive you. Please. And we ain't got nearly about to 490 times yet. And I looked at Sister Miss Weston, it was. I said, Miss Weston, if God expects us human beings to forgive one another 490 times, I said, how much more will God forgive you? And I saw her countenance change. And I'm hoping that I'll meet Sister Weston in heaven. Hallelujah. Somebody said, Brother Ben, live a life like that. I'm telling you, we've got a forgiving God. God will save you 3 minutes before you leave this world and give you a home in heaven. He will forgive. And not only forgive, but He'll forget. He'll wash your sins in the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And they will forever be gone. Forever they're gone. I said forever they're gone. I said they're not mentioned no more. It will not be mentioned no more. We human beings has got to. If God will do that, we've got to. Hallelujah. It's 12 o'clock.
I guess you heard about the example of that man's on his death.